The letter to Andrea was not difficult to write. That was the first surprise. Concetta sat at the kitchen table, the blank sheet of cream stationery resting before her like a waiting face. It was the sort of paper she used for official correspondence from the post office, thick, expensive, smelling faintly of the mill where it had been pressed. She had bought a packet of it yesterday, along with the stamps, telling Luca she needed to send a bill to the supplier in Messina. She had lied. The lie tasted like copper in her mouth, sharp and metallic, but her hand did not shake. She picked up her pen. The nib scratched against the paper, a dry, rasping sound that seemed too loud in the quiet house. Andrea, she wrote. She stopped. The ink pooled slightly, a dark star blooming on the fiber. She waited for it to dry, dabbing the corner of the page with her thumb, smearing the black until it was a dull gray. Caro, it was too intimate. It was too much like the letters he had written to her in 1942, before he left, before the war took him and gave him back to her in pieces she could not assemble. But amare was a lie. Marito was a legal term. Andrea was just a name, and names were for strangers. She crossed it out. The paper tore slightly under the force of her eraser. A white smear of rubber dust lay beside the black mark. She started again. Andrea, she wrote, I am writing this because I have decided to believe you. The denial felt hollow against the weight of the harbor master's silence when she had asked him about the ships. He had looked away and said nothing. His eyes fixed on the manifest spread across his desk, as though the truth were written in ink he could not bear to read. It was the telegram from the chaplain in Bologna that held more truthy official record of a body never recovered, a blank stone waiting in the cemetery. Yet it was Enzo's glance that lingered, a flash of fear masked as anger when Palermo was named. She had to commit it to ink. Writing the decision down was the only way to anchor it, to move the truth out of the chaotic space of her mind and onto the page where she might finally command it. She wrote about the weather. She wrote about the olive harvest being poor, the fruit small and bitter, the oil pressing yielding less than half of what it had the year before. She wrote about Nana Rosa, who slept more now, her eyes clouded with cataracts that turned the world into a blur of gray shapes. She wrote about Luca, who had grown tall and thin, all elbows and knees, spending his days on the dock and his nights staring at the sea from the edge of the fishing district. I think Luca wants to leave, she wrote. He looks at the horizon the way you used to look at maps. She paused. Was that true, or was she projecting her own restlessness onto the boy? She didn't know. She only knew that when she looked at him, she saw the shadow of her husband, a younger version, sharper, more dangerous. And she feared it. She wrote about the post office. She wrote about the smell of damp paper, the dust motes dancing in the shafts of light, the endless, grinding machinery of sorting other people's lives. She told him that she had kept the letters, all of them, buried in the floorboard beneath the kitchen table, wrapped in oilcloth, hidden from Nana Rosa, hidden from Enzo, hidden from God. I have kept them, she wrote. I have kept every word you sent. I have kept the photograph. I have kept the cipher key. She stopped again. Her hand was cramping, the tendons in her wrist tight and sore. She flexed her fingers, feeling the stiffness in the joints. It was the cold that was coming in the November chill that seeped through the stone walls of Casa Marino, turning the tiles beneath her bare feet into ice. She should put on a sweater. She should boil the kettle. But she could not stop. If she stopped, she might remember that she was 43 years old, sitting alone in a kitchen that smelled of dried oregano and decay, writing a letter to a man who was either a liar or a corpse. She signed it. Concetta. No date. She did not put a date. Dates were traps. Dates were the things that caught you, the things that pinned you to a moment in time and told you that you belonged there. She wanted to belong nowhere. She wanted to be the woman who wrote the letter, not the woman who waited for the reply. She folded the paper. Once, twice, three times. It became a small, dense square, sharp-edged and heavy. She slid it into an envelope, sealed it with wax, the red wax she used for the official post office seals, melting it in a spoon over the flame of the oil lamp. The wax bubbled, releasing a scent of pine and smoke. She pressed her thumb into it, leaving a mark that meant nothing, a signature of authority on a document that was entirely personal. The chair scraped against the tile as she rose, the joints in her knees complaining in the quiet. Nana Rosa lay in the back room, her breath a ragged, wet rhythm that seemed to fill the house like rising water. Enzo had long since left for the key, likely still out on L'Esperanza, hauling nets and speaking with the other men about tides and timber things solid enough to hold on to when the rest of the world had turned to smoke and lies. Concetta took the letter. She put on her black dress, stiff with mourning crepe. She put on her coat. She locked the front door, turning the key twice, listening to the mechanism click into place. The street was empty. The sky was the color of bruised flesh, purple and yellow and sickly green. The wind was blowing from the east, carrying the smell of salt and rot from the harbor. Concetta walked down the hill, her heels clicking on the cobblestones, the sound echoing off the closed shutters of the houses. She did not look at the cemetery. She did not look at the church. She walked straight to La Posta. The post office was dark. The blinds were drawn, the windows black mirrors reflecting the street. Concetta unlocked the side door, the one she had the key to, the one she used when she came early to sort the overnight mail. She stepped inside. The air was cold, stale. It smelled of the tobacco Enzo smoked, the damp paper, the dust. Concetta lit the single bulb hanging over the sorting table. The light flickered, buzzed, and then settled into a harsh, yellow glare. She walked to the back room, to the box. The wooden box was under her desk, covered in a layer of gray dust. She had not opened it since the night Nana Rosa burned the letters. Since the night she saved the final one. Since the night she realized that the truth was not a thing you could hold, but a thing you had to carry. She knelt, her joints protested. She pulled the box out. It was heavy. She had lined it with lead years ago when she first started keeping the letters, thinking that the metal would protect them from the damp, from the rats, from the passage of time. It had protected them from nothing. The paper was brittle. The ink was fading. The photographs were curling at the edges. She opened the lid. Inside were the letters, all of them. The first one from Marseille, dated 1950. The second one with the photograph of Andrea in Palermo, older, thinner, his eyes darker. The third one, the cipher key, the coordinates, the lies, and the journal, her own journal. The one she had kept for 20 years, recording the small details of her life, the price of bread, the temperature of the sea, the way Enzo looked at her when she came home late from the post office. She took the journal out. It was thick, heavy, 200 pages of her handwriting, 200 pages of a woman who was trying to make sense of a life that made no sense. She held it in her hands. She could feel the weight of it. The weight of every morning she had woken before dawn. The weight of every night she had spent listening to the silence. The weight of every lie she had told herself to get through the day. She walked to the stove. The oil lamp was still burning on the table, but the stove was cold. She struck a match. The flame flared, bright and orange. She held it to the corner of the journal. The paper caught instantly. It curled, blackening, shrinking. The smell of burning cellulose filled the room acrid, sharp, choking. Concetta watched the flames eat the pages. She watched her own handwriting disappear. She watched the record of her life turn to ash. She did not cry. She did not feel sorrow. She felt a strange, hollow lightness as though she had just set down a burden she had been carrying for decades. The fire grew. It licked up the sides of the box, warming her face. She fed it more pages. The letters, the photographs, the cipher key, all of it. Andrea's words, her words, the truth, the lies. When the box was empty, when the last page had turned to gray dust, Concetta stood up. She brushed the ash from her hands. It stuck to her skin, gray and fine. She went to the sink and washed them, scrubbing until the water ran clear, until her skin was raw and red. She dried her hands on her apron. She looked at the box. It was empty, just a hollow wooden shell smelling of smoke. She closed the lid. She pushed the box back under the desk. Then she went to the window. The street was still empty. The sky was darker now. The wind was stronger. Concetta placed her hand against the glass. It was cold. She could feel the vibration of the world outside, the distant sound of the waves, the bark of a dog, the rumble of a truck passing on the main road. She thought about Andrea. She thought about Palermo. She thought about the letter in her pocket, the one she was going to send. She did not know if he would receive it. She did not know if he would reply. She did not know if he was even alive. But she had written it. She had sent it. And that was enough. She turned away from the window. She walked to the door. She locked it behind her. She walked home. The house was cold. The fire in the kitchen had gone out. Concetta lit a new one, feeding it dry twigs and splinters of wood until the flames caught and began to burn steadily. She sat in the chair by the hearth, wrapping her hands around a cup of tea that had gone cold. She waited. Outside, the night deepened. The wind howled around the corners of the house, rattling the shutters, shaking the branches of the olive tree in the courtyard. Concetta sat in the dark, listening to the fire crackle, listening to the wind, listening to the silence. And for the first time in 43 years, she did not think about the date. She did not think about the impossible. She did not think about Marseille. She simply sat, she simply breathed, she simply was. The fire died to gray ash, leaving only the scent of burnt wood and the long shadow of evening stretching across the floorboards. Concetta stood still for a moment, listening to the house settle around her, then blew out the lamp and stepped into the dark.